Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line from Raleigh, North Carolina, certainly one of my favorite guests, and I hope yours as well, Dr. Dennis Cuddy, who is taught at the university level, who is involved. He was actually worked for the Department of Education in Washington, D.C. under President Reagan, and of course he is certainly, in my way of thinking, one of the most outstanding researchers we have, if not the most outstanding researcher we have, and I really depend on his research a great deal for much of what I do. He's written a number of books which we do carry, and we'll talk about those later on, but right now we're going to be talking about a new pamphlet he's written called The National Mental Health Program. That's the National Mental Health Program. It's the first four of a series of actually 12 essays he has written on this whole idea of the New Freedom Initiative. Isn't that a wonderful word, a phrase, New Freedom Initiative? It's sort of like, well, during the Reagan administration, we had the Tax Simplification Act. And that was, of course, to make taxes more complicated, but they couldn't tell you what they were going to do. It's sort of like the alternative minimum tax. That's just for the wealthy only. It's kind of hit all the people here very long. And the New Freedom Initiative certainly has nothing to do with freedom. Dr. Cuddy, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me. Well, that's a very good point. They usually use this sort of Orwellian newspeak, whether it's the New Freedom and... Of course, that was the slogan of President Woodrow Wilson, and we got a lot of the opposite of that. He, you know, kept us out of war, sort of philosophy. And then he had a plan all along to get us into the First World War, and then he snookered the people back then about the Federal Reserve, which he signed, and a lot of other things. They used the sort of opposite of what they're actually up to. He was bringing us socialism because. That's exactly what his chief advisor, Colonel House, had said when he wrote the book, Philip Drew Administrator. It was Socialism is Dreamed of by Karl Marx. And Franklin Lane, one of his secretaries, departmental secretaries under Wilson, said everything that was in Philip Drew is coming about during the Wilson administration. So I guess they figure if George Santayana was right and the public has been dumbed down so they don't know the past, then why not try it again? So here we have the New Freedom Commission on Mental Health recommending that everyone actually have a mental health screening. The focus initially is on children, but everyone is supposed to get these screenings, and various states are at various stages of that. Illinois is not only screening children, but also pregnant women. There are laws passed there implementing the legislation that the president wanted was to screen all pregnant women as well. Various states are in various stages, but according to their own commission, all states, California, New York, every state is somewhere along the road on implementing this, plus all of the about 25, 26 departments in the federal government have been instructed to follow the recommendations of that commission. Now, the average person hearing this will think, well, they're just trying to treat psychotics, but it's far more than that, and we'll pick up after the music.
And I would like to suggest they want to get a dossier on everybody in America. And anything you tell the psychiatrist you put down, on the question form will be used against you at some time in the future. And you probably, or you might even be one of those crazy people who believes in Christianity, and, oh, my goodness, why, that one day may well be a crime. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon, Dr. Dennis Cuddy, who has taught at the university level, who actually was involved in the Department of Education during the Reagan years, and certainly today is one of the most outstanding researchers we have, dealing with what's going on in the world today. Now, we carry a pamphlet he has produced called the National Mental Health Program. It is actually the first four of the 12 essay he has written on the New Freedom Initiative, this idea that the federal government needs to begin testing all of us, especially school children and then teachers and then the pregnant women, and then, well, everybody's going to have to be screened for mental health because they're concerned about you. You have to understand, they really are concerned about you. They feel your pain. They want to make sure that you don't have any crazy ideas like, well, you might even be a Christian. I was just thinking the other night when I saw the film Hotel Rwanda. And on the, everybody had to have an identification booklet, and they had their stamp, not only your picture, but your tribe. And, of course, the Hutus had Hutus stamped on it. Christians had Tutsi stamped on it. And so they used that to pick out the Christians and to slaughter them. First, the UN came in, disarmed the people, and then they allowed the machetes to come in, and then they allowed them to hack to death 800,000 Christians. But when was the last time any one of our major newscasters ever mentioned that the Tutsis were Christians and that's why they were killed? Oh, no, it was all tribal. No, they were Christians. And why do you think the United Nations was so intent upon disarming them and then knowing full what was going to happen, allowing it to take place? Well, for the same reason we don't talk about the Christians being killed in the Congo today, the Christians who are starving in Rhodesia today, the Christians, of course, who are being killed in other countries throughout the world, because there is a tremendous anti-Christian bias. And remember now, with the new card we're going to be getting, our new driver's license, they're going to know what religion you are. Don't think that they're not going to put that. All that information is going to be in the great computer at the Defense Department or wherever it's going to be kept. Dr. Cuddy, pick up the story.
Well, there's a lot in what you said, and several of the points I'll pick up on. For example, when you said everything that they would find out during the screening, there's a couple of problems there because, number one, the questions that they would ask in the mental health screening won't just reveal what a little four-year-old Johnny says. They'll be asking little Johnny, do your parents spank you? You know, things like that, so that they will have a dossier on the parents as well.
Hold that thought for just a moment here. And, of course, in some of the mental health screening, why they actually ask the children about whether there are guns in the house. They want all sorts of personal information from little Johnny. And little Johnny, being a good little boy, is going to write down his parents what their religious faiths are and whether they have guns and whether they have any drugs or anything in the house. All of that will be put on the big computer up in the sky as they collect dossiers on every American citizen. So pick up this story there, Dennis, please.
Sure. the idea in screening little Johnny isn't just to get information on little Johnny, but also about the parents and what is going on in the home as well. And the reason they want to focus initially on the children, especially the young children, is that's where values are shaped. And this is not just about obtaining information, but about shaping our values or controlling the way children think or react or feel in various situations. In addition, what you said also is true about Christian. If you happen to be a Christian, you'll be in trouble. The average person would say, that's ridiculous. But you have to remember who the so-called screeners, the expert screeners are. And the National Science Foundation, along with the National Institute of Mental Health, just finished a study, over $1 million study, with these so-called experts from Johns Hopkins and a couple of California institutions, in which they determined that those people who have dogmatic beliefs might have a mental health problem. And so this would refer to any traditional Christians who believe in religious dogmas, like the Ten Commandments, which we, of course, have to get out of the public arena, while we simultaneously allow all sorts of pagan deities to remain. So there's an assault upon the culture in all of this, in terms of what you said about Hotel Rwanda, another country they're hitting there is the Sudanese in the southern part. There's a battle there. The Sudanese Christians are being crucified and everything else they can do with them. And the application is correct that you were making about what basically it is, the Real ID Act, was just passed by both houses of Congress here, and supposedly it just tells states that their driver's license should have certain information on it. The problem when you set national standards for each state is then you have a national standard that can go into a centralized computer, which can provide additional information. It's not just driver's license, it's any identification cards that would be recognized by the federal government. And so basically, it's what I've said, we've talked about in the past, about this sort of mandatory voluntarism. I remember back when George H.W. Bush had his Points of Light Foundation, he said, this is the type of thing, whether you engage in service, it's the type of thing that they should look at as to whether you are admitted to a college or get a job. So in other words, if you want to go to college or get a job, you will, quote, volunteer for this service. Well, this is the same sort of thing. If you as a state, let's say California or wherever, want any of your documents, your identification, driver's license, whatever it is, recognized by the federal government, let's say for Social Security purposes, then you will, quote, voluntarily conform to these standards, which in effect means they'll have a national database on all of us. And not only that, but there's a provision in there that says because this is supposed to be focusing on illegal immigration, that's the alleged reason for doing this, of course you will have to have Canadian and Mexican officials have access to it. Now just think about whether, can you envision the possibility that there may be in Canada or Mexico some one corrupt government official? Is that possible? And if it is, what's to prevent that person with access to all of this personal information about you selling your identity to some terrorist or just some thieves?
I know. I think it's so interesting that we've heard recently that a couple of our major banks just accidentally released all the personal identification on a million people, and somebody else, of course, somebody stole it from them. Well, if they didn't have the information, that couldn't be stolen, or that couldn't be accidentally put on a computer someplace. But all of this, and for our listeners, I really want to stress, so it's so important, all of this is to program you in preparation for the chip. Because, oh my goodness, identity theft, the danger of identity theft, they're going to spend all your money, they're going to drain your bank account, and what's the solution? Why, if we only had all a chip, why we wouldn't have this problem. So on one hand, of course, they allow all this information to be collected, but it's all being done for a specific purpose, because they want everybody to have a chip. And you say, well, why should I be concerned if the government has information on me? And I would simply ask anybody who survived the Rwandan Holocaust, why should anybody be concerned whether you were Hutu or Tutsi? Well, you got something to fear from government, because if you study the history, you'll find the government power corrupts absolutely. And absolute power allows governments to kill and murder their opposition absolutely. And that was, of course, what Dr. Professor Rummel said in his book, Death by Government, pointing out that the greatest murderer of the last century was governments, and usually killing their own people. People have to understand the history, and I hope everybody out there is going to get the video or the DVD, Hotel Rwanda, and watch it, especially the part where they have actually the American press secretary being asked, well, why don't we intervene? It's genocide. They're killing people over there. They're slaughtering them. And she's saying, well, they're acts of genocide, but it isn't necessary. Genocide just because they're acts of genocide, and that's why we can't intervene. And, of course, I think Peter Hammond, we had as a guest on a couple of days ago, put it best when the whole idea that they were killing the people because they were black, no. They were killing them because they were Christians. They knew that. But, you see, they can't let the Christians in this country know that there are people in this country who hate Christianity. That's why they had to get God and prayer out of our schools. That's why they had to demonize Judge Roy Moore. Why? Because he wanted to be able to profess his belief in God in the courtroom. And, of course, he was, of course, humiliated and destroyed by a man named William Pryor, who was rewarded for what he had done by the current administration by giving an interim appointment to a federal bench. Now, why would the Bush administration reward the man who betrayed and destroyed Judge Roy Moore? Well, I think that we have to ask very seriously, are we being told the truth, or are people telling us what we want to hear? And is it true that the major thrust of both political parties is this, of course, intense hatred of Christianity?
Yeah, and that raises another question, and which I want to touch on before I get back to the identity chip, and that is a lot of people were saying, well, George W. Bush wouldn't do this, you know, he's a good Christian. Well, a lot of people will talk one way, but if you look at their actions, I remember before he became president in 2000, when he was governor of the state of Texas, there was an appeal by this woman who was on death row in Texas. And she had become a Christian, and the warden of her prison said she was a model, and she brought a lot of other prisoners to a knowledge of saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And there was an appeal to not execute her, but to commute her sentence down to life imprisonment. And George Bush was on TV with an interview and just sort of snickered and said, well, she said, you know, please don't kill me, sort of, ha-ha. And then he said, go on and kill her. And at the same time, he did pardon another person, and this was a man who he and his homosexual friend, the man and his homosexual friend, had tortured before killing son of the host of America's Most Wanted on television. And he was, you know, a mass murderer, a killer. And George Bush commutes his sentence down to life imprisonment at the same time he did that. So even before he became president, it was curious. Then once he became president, he was appointing various homosexuals to top positions, ambassadorships. He said how much he liked and his mother liked Ozzy Osbourne, who has music that is occultic and has demonic material in it. He would give what he calls the one finger salute into TV cameras. He's done that more than once. And you know, the scenario goes on and on. He supported a pro-choice in terms of abortion Senator Arlen Specter in the state of Pennsylvania rather than a pro-life Republican who was running for that same office. So over and over again, and he's now appointed to his top justice post, Mr. Gonzalez, who is pro-choice. Condoleezza Rice is pro-choice. He's got a lot of pro-choice people in his cabinet as well. And so one needs to look at what an individual does or doesn't do in the case of what he didn't do regarding the Terry Schiavo situation. And the list goes on. So the people who look at this current president and say, oh, he wouldn't do such and such because he's a good Christian, you really need to take a closer look at the things that he's stood for and has gone on, not just his rhetoric, but what he's done. And so in terms of what he's proposing now, the whole idea behind these identifications, and the reason, like you said, is eventually they'll say, well, everybody needs a chip. Now, what they'll probably do at first is use some sort of innocuous sounding or innocuous program like, well, we already have in the military these chips so that if soldiers get captured, you know, we can find them and rescue them and so on. Then they started with little children. Well, you know, the little child, we don't want the children to be abducted, so they really...
Mixed up in the nursery. We don't want them mixed up in the nursery.
Right. They can't have mixed up in the nursery. And then they approved, under the Bush administration, chipping people who go into hospitals. That's been approved. The VeriChip Corporation, they can do that now. That's okay. And business, you'll find businessmen, they've already started chipping employees, saying, well, you know, if you're an international... a traveler and you're over in Egypt or somewhere, we wouldn't want some terrorist to get a hold of you, so you know you need a chip as well. So anyway, the whole idea is supposed to be to protect us from terrorists, and after the break we can get into what that means.
I think they have another great plan. They're going to give you a card, an ID card, and it's going to have a chip in it, so you don't have to swipe it now, you can just sort of wave it. You just wave the card in your hand over the scanner and it'll pick it up, and Pretty soon, you won't even have to have the card. Could it be happening? Could we be seeing the fulfillment of prophecy? Well, something's going on for sure. and they're not telling the American people.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 on the route down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that will give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000. 4,000.
Hi, this is Doc. Have you purchased or invested in gold and silver coins or bullion in the last several years? If so, you've most likely been taken advantage of. In a lot of cases, out and out lied to. There are several tricks of the trade in play in the precious metals and collector coin markets. This is especially true during a hot market. Although it doesn't take a savvy investor to avoid the pitfalls of unscrupulous coin and metals dealers, it does take some common sense and the knowledge of which questions to ask. The asset management professionals at Colonial Resources can arm you with a few simple questions to ask your current broker or coin dealer. To find out if you've been taken advantage of, or if you're thinking of investing, call Colonial Resources toll-free, 1-800-685-4042. The precious metals and collector coin markets are hot and definitely where the smart money is heading. But before you make a mistake that could cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars, call the professionals at Colonial Resources. The call and the advice are free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Dennis Cuddy. And what most people say, well, I don't have anything to fear from government because, after all, you know, I haven't done anything wrong. And you must understand that's what they said in Hitler's Germany, that when they began arresting Jews and they began arresting Christians and they began arresting gypsies. And they didn't have to do anything wrong. Because behind everything that was going on in Hitler's Germany, there were powerful occult forces that had an idea. They were going to create a perfect society, and they were going to, of course, kill the Jews. They were going to kill the gypsies to get clean up the gene pool. And then there was an intense hatred of Christians. And what you will never hear Any place in the United States is what Professor Norman Cohn tells you in his book Warrant for Genocide, and that is that there were probably twice as many non-Jews killed as there were Jews. Only about a third of the people killed were Jews. And, of course, of that 12 million others who were killed, the vast majority were Christians, but this is never mentioned. In fact, if you go up on the Internet, some figures go as high as 26 million Christian civilians were killed. And it's never mentioned here in this country. And, of course, many of them were killed just because they were Christians. Corey Ten Boom's sister and father and the Christians in their concentration were killed. Why were they killed? Because they were Christians. But we never mention that. The Dietrich Bonhoeffer was killed just a few weeks before the war ended. Why? Because he was a Christian. And until you understand that the occult forces that energized the Nazi movement are alive and well in the United States today. Because we're fighting a spiritual battle on a political and ideological battlefield, and most Christians don't understand that there truly are demonic forces in the world today. And that's how you can begin to understand the terrible and horrible things that we see. And get that video, that DVD, Hotel Rwanda, and watch it. And understand the significance of what you're seeing. It happened with the full help and support of your government. Go ahead, pick up the story there, Dennis.
Right, and all of this comes under the broad heading of population control, and people often refer to Hitler, and of course he was evil, but a lot of what he got came from us. Margaret Sanger, back around 1910 or so, had been introduced to the moneyed people, the elite, the sort of eugenics types, who involved very prominent type of people. I mean, you know, Woodrow Wilson, Charles Eliot, head of Harvard, Winston Churchill, all of these were into eugenics, and they had their first, I think, International Congress around 1912. And Margaret Sanger, after she got introduced to the various powers that be, with money started her birth control league, which then became Planned Parenthood. And Hitler sent one of his people, Ernst Rudin, who was, he wasn't the only one, but there were many who picked up on Margaret Sanger's, what she called her baby code and Negro project and all, because they wanted to get rid of, like you just said, the what they called the dysgenic stocks, gypsies and so forth. And a lot of those people, including handicapped people, were killed long before there was a concentrated program to kill Jewish people. So it comes under this broad heading of population control, and Rockefellers have been involved in that a long time. In fact, John D. Rockefeller II helped start the Population Council in the early 1950s, and had some help by Prescott Sheldon Bush at that time. And then later, of course, Rockefeller wrote that article about how wonderful Mao Zedong was in the New York Times, I think August 10th of 1973, even though everybody knew that Mao had slaughtered tens of millions of his own people. So a lot of this has to do with population control, and Hitler was just part of it. Now, one of the main ways they can exercise this population control is, like we said, like you were asking, you know, why should you care if you're a citizen that the government knows things about you? Why should you care if in doing a mental health screening they ask little Johnny if you have guns in the home? Well, the thing you got to remember is whether you're talking about Hitler or Uganda, or, you know, any other country. In fact, there's a chart that's been produced showing how before any mass murder of population in a country, whether it's, you know, mass murder of Christians and hundreds of thousands, whatever it is, before a country does that to its own people, they always have very strong gun control and gun confiscation measures.
And, of course, that's they disarmed the Armenians you know, in 1915,
right,
before they slaughtered them. They disarmed the people in Rwanda before they slaughtered them. They disarmed the people of Europe before they slaughtered them. They disarmed the people of China before they slaughtered them. Could that possibly be why they're so intent upon taking the weapons away from the American people today? We'll be back here in just a moment with our a good friend, Dr. Dennis Cuddy. We'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And remember, those who cannot remember history are condemned to repeat it.
Thank you.
Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the World War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Have you ever wondered whether you're really getting the truth from the media? Have you ever thought that maybe somebody's controlling your reality? Well, there's going to be a meeting. It's going to be held at the Westin Hotel over by Great America. It's going to be on May 28th and 29th, and it's going to be at the Conspiracy Conference. Now, if you'd like to know more about the Conspiracy Conference, call 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. This is the fifth exciting year they've had this. Dick Gregory is going to be there, Nick Begich. There's going to be Daniel Hopsicker, Jack McLam. I'm going to have a booth, although I'll not be speaking. You're going to see the contrast between good and evil. The Conspiracy Conference is a great educational opportunity. We hope that many of you will give serious consideration to going May 28th, 29th. That's 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Dennis Cuddy, and if you have not yet read his book, Secret Records Revealed, or the short version of that, Conspiracy, Secret Records Revealed, or his book on Now is the Dawning, or The Road to Socialism, or so many others, why you missed a great deal. But we do also carry his little book entitled National Mental Health Program, which is the first four of the 12 essays he's written. Why don't you pick up the story from there, Dennis?
Okay, I'll just pick up with a quick point before we get to the identity question and the identity chips. When you were talking about taking the weapons away, and that's what they do in each country before there's a massive killing of the population they want to get rid of, you'll remember that a few years ago there was some Marines in California. There was a survey of would they be willing to shoot Americans who resisted giving up their arms, and about 25% said, yeah, if I got an order to shoot these people because they refused to give up their weapons, I would. The population said, oh, well, that's good. Only 25% of the Marines said they would be willing to do that. But what that was designed to show is that it was possible to get those Marines in a single group. In other words, whereas now they may be dispersed, what they could identify then is the specific Marines who would be willing to do that, and then, of course, you could form, you know, a platoon, brigade, or whatever of just those types would be willing to do that. The second thing is how it would happen is you would have our National Guard have to be sent overseas. Everybody up until recently thought, no, National Guard's here. That's why they call the National Guard. They're supposed to be here to defend the homeland, to rescue people from, you know, waters, floods, hurricanes, whatever. So if you send them overseas and you have foreign troops here, as we do, and there's a permanent German base down in New Mexico, for example, it would be far easier for those types of people under international law, whatever excuse you want to use, to would be willing to shoot Americans than you would have your own American soldiers and National Guard members be willing to shoot Americans who would refuse to give up their weapons. Okay, now back to the mental health screening. The title of the series is Mental Health Education and Social Control. And as I said, a lot of these are control mechanisms, including this identity chip. And it's advertised, if it's, the, let's say, the Real ID Act, for example, as, well, we need these to combat either illegal immigration or to identify terrorists. And they point to some of the terrorists who came over and perpetrated 9/11 and said, well, you know, we need to be able to find these people in the future and so forth and so on. And so what they want to do is the power elite, as I call them, want to be able to know everything they can about everybody, and that's where the mental health screening comes in. And they want to be able to identify and locate people wherever they are. And at the moment, you say, oh, well, you know, they don't know where I am. I'm down here in Albuquerque or, you know, Tuscaloosa or, you know, wherever. And how do they know about me? Well, they actually know more than you think for a couple of reasons. For example, what you have coming about is the linkage between GPS, that's Global Positioning Satellite Technology, and these RFID chips, radio frequency identification technology. Now, the RFID can go through, you know, solid objects and so forth, but it's very localized. It's local so that it can only be used within a certain distance, although it's getting further. The technology is getting more refined. So what has happened fairly recently is what you have is something called checkpoint systems. And they have a project that's called Liberty. You know, there's that new freedom again. They call this Liberty. Liberty Portals, P-O-R-T-A-L-S. And what that can do is tell us something on your person with an RFID chip, you know, in a piece of clothing, you're in a department store, whatever, passes through one of the doorways of a store. So, in other words, there's this RFID chip that they know is tagged to you because they know you've purchased it with your credit card, right? You've purchased a sweater or something. Well, it doesn't matter. All right? And so you've purchased this sweater with your credit card, so they know that, and then they know when that chip has passed through a doorway. Let's say your piece of clothing is good because you're wearing your clothing, right? So if they see passing through a doorway in Portland, Oregon, is this RFID code, then they know you're in Portland, Oregon. Now, they couple that with, because that's only a short distance, with GPS technology, global positioning, because then they can track, you know, anywhere in the world. And an example of that would be there are American-made tennis shoes already that a lot of Japanese school children are wearing, and in there, that has global positioning satellite technology. So from in space, if you happen to be wearing these tennis shoes and left Portland, Oregon, and went over to Moscow or somewhere, they'd know where you are then. So the bottom line is, pretty soon they're going to know where just about everybody who uses credit cards to purchase anything is at any given time.
And I really think it's so interesting what you're pointing out, because of course the American people have been told, oh, we have to spend all this money on our military because this is for defending America. Well, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we've been financing our enemies. For instance, right now we're doing everything we can to build up the military capacity of China, even so far as to give them our most sensitive targeting information so they can target their MIRV missiles on us. Why would you do something like that? Why? Because you have to have an enemy. If you read the Wall Street Journal regularly, as I do, you will find out that there's always some major American corporation that's investing in Russia to build up their economy, or there is a bank that's investing over there, or the government is finding some means to justify giving them more money. Why? Because if we don't have an enemy, how are we going to justify spending 20 times as much for the American military or as much as the next 20 nations in the world put together? In other words, we put out, what, about $450 billion. The next 20 nations of the world don't put out that amount of money. And this technology is not being put together to protect the American people. It's being put together to spy on the American people and every civilian in the world. And certainly we're working very closely with Russians. After all, our president has said he looked in Putin's eyes, he can trust him, doesn't matter that he's killing people over there who oppose him, killing journalists, and of course deposing the elected officials. But we are supporting Putin because he's our man, and he is our man. But you must understand, as Plato said so well, and you go back and you read his Republic, when the tyrant has defeated his enemy by a conflict or by treaty, and there's nothing to fear from them, that he's always stirring up another war to rally the people behind him. So we have these enemies. The American people are willing, of course, to go along with a massive military. Our military is not being used to defend America. We weren't defending America in Vietnam. We weren't defending America in Korea. We weren't defending America in the first Gulf War, and we're sure not defending America today. But we are justifying the amassing of this massive technology that is going to be used to spy on the American people, and yes, on even on the little Japanese children. The ultimate goal is a one-world government under the Antichrist. Behind everything going on today, behind the World Trade Organization, behind NAFTA, behind the drive for CAFTA, is this idea, this occult idea of a world government. And you can go up and you can read the Rosicrucian websites as I did today. The Rosicrucians, which are a secret occult organization, will tell you their goal is world government. And what is the major position paper by both the Republicans and the Democrats? Why, it's all about world government. And that's what it's about, but they can't let the American people know. Would that be a fair statement, Dennis?
Absolutely, and not that much has been publicized about the Rosicrucians. In my book, Now is the Dawning of the New Age, New World Order, which you also have, I put something which is, I think, probably just as revealing as H.G. Wells' book, The New World Order. It's I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I believe it's from 1941, is the Rosicrucian Digest. And it's a one particular month, and they're basically saying, you know, here's the plan for the future. And they pretty much lay it out. They, you know, say there'll be a world government, and X, Y, Z will happen, and people will have, you know, health screenings, and they'll be monitored and tracked. And, I mean, it just lays out exactly what we have today, and they're saying that's what's coming, and they're saying it back in 1941. So they're extremely influential, and their history goes far, far back. Andrea, Johann Valentin Andrea in the early 1600s was the leading person at the beginning. However, one of the major players there is, of course, Sir Francis Bacon. Bacon's interesting given the movies that we've had recently, like the National Treasure, which is fictional, but what he was up to was not fictional. They really should do a story on what Bacon was up to, because he had written this book, The New Atlantis. And the New Atlantis was, of course, the old Atlantis was one of these, you know, it was destroyed, but the aliens were the one out of the seven civilizations that survived, and they supposedly wound up in Shambhala and had the power of the sun wheel, which was the swastika. And so Bacon was picking up on this after Solon had passed it on down to Plato and the Republic and so forth. So Bacon picks up on this stuff in the New Atlantis, but only if you look at that book, which is, I think, about 1627, it came out posthumously, it didn't have all the secrets. All the rest of the secrets were brought over in, I think it was 1653, by his relative Nathaniel Bacon. And it originally was buried in this underground vault in, I think it was, Old Bruton Parish near Williamsburg. But then Thomas Jefferson was the last one to see it, and I think he took it either to the University of Virginia or the Capitol. I think Jefferson put it somewhere else. But anyway, he was the last one to look at the rest of these basically secrets. And what Bacon had been writing about was this New Atlantis, which he considered America. It was on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean. He was going to bring all these secret mysteries and doctrines and so forth. And he was an acknowledged Rosicrucian from a long time ago, one of the leaders with this, possessing this sort of secret knowledge, which was brought over here and carried on from the 1600s.
And it's, And it's been here, and actually this is behind everything going on today. Unless you understand that these secret societies are here. There are between 2 and 3 million Masons in this country, and they're simply another extension of the mystery religions. And of course, with their relatives, they probably dominate between 10 and 12 million people with their wives and children. Here in the United States, the Rosicrucians are here, the Theosophists are here, the witches are here, the people who are into Satanism and Luciferianism, in the New Age. We're talking about countless millions of people here in America, all dedicated to this reconstitution of lost Atlantis, the New World Order, the New World Religion. Our children are being indoctrinated that in school. It all has to do with world government. They're being told about not independence, but interdependence, and how clever they are. They use our public schools to destroy our nation.
That's right, and that's why this series is not only about social control, but about mental health and education, because education has been a major vehicle of this. I put quotes in the various parts of my series from leaders. So the head of HEW back around 1970, Elliot Richardson, said that teachers would be like the new mental health professionals of the scene and the schools, and they were supposed to be the early identifiers of children who had supposedly mental health problems. And in terms of the mental health screening, of course, that's pushed by the powers that be, as well as primarily the pharmaceutical industry. And what we find is that they will have youngsters on Ritalin or other things, such as even though Canada in February of this year banned the use of Adderall because of its cause of deaths and strokes and so forth, Adderall just this past year still being used.
And of course, we're giving our kids Ritalin, which is an amphetamine-like drug, and it's destroying their hearts. And the kids are, you know, 6, 8, 10 years of old are dying of heart attacks, and yet we've got almost 6 million children on Ritalin today. And it's an addicting drug, and we're putting them on it. Why would you do anything that that stupid unintentionally?
That's right. And a lot of the school shooters, whether it's, I think Eric Harris was on Luvox, and so the others were on various other selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, SSRIs, so a complicated term, but they're extremely dangerous. And I include in the latest part 12 of the series quotes by Dr. Ann Blake Tracy, who's with a Drug Awareness Coalition. In addition, Dr. Ellen Bassick, associate professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School. There are physicians and psychiatrists who, at least some of them, will acknowledge the dangers of these things, and they keep giving them to our youngsters. And as you said, why would they do this accidentally?
And somebody would just noted that if they put your child on Ritalin, you don't have to worry about it being drafted, because they're not going to take him in the military, because they know the damage it's done. And if you've been on drugs, why, you're not going to be allowed in the military.
That's right, and like I've said in previous parts, it's not just the SSRIs that they've used. They condition the people. You have the fluoride in the water, and pretty soon in this latest part 12, what I do is I have a reproduction of a can from back the cover of a can from the 1950s of sodium fluoride that has a warning on there: if you swallow this, it may be fatal. And yet they'll put a certain amount of fluoride in our water. The Nazis as well had used it to control the populations in occupied territories because it affects a particular part of the left side of the brain, which makes people more docile, more accepting of authoritarian rule. And so it's no wonder that we see the public pretty much going along with things. That's why the Power Elite has these periodic test cases. They push the envelope a little to see what you'll be willing to put up with. You'll have a Terry Schiavo case come up just, you know, as a test to see whether the public is going to remain docile or if they actually, you know, get up the nerve to do something which would cause the situation to change. And so they have these various control mechanisms. And so that's why this series is mental health, education, and social control, because it's all part of a larger plan moving us towards the ultimate goal, which, as we've discussed in the past, has been a world government. It'll be a world socialist government, because that'll be the synthesis, the compromise between Western capitalism and Eastern communism. That's the ultimate goal for all of this. But like you said, it's very, very important, there is a spiritual element behind it. It's not just an economic element, although they want to use a global economy and say it has to be managed by a world government. Ultimately, it is a spiritual element driving it, and it's a demonic force.
And until you understand the demonic force, you can't understand the control of the media in America today. Do you know that 5 mega corporations dominate our media? You're never going to hear that anyplace. What are they? Why, of course, they're basically Bertelsmann, and there's Disney, and there's Viacom, and there is Warner, Time Warner, and then there's, of course, Murdoch. 5, they control what you hear on most radio programs, certainly what you see on television, what you, of course, read in your newspapers, and they control most of the publishing houses. They've even bought up the conservative Christian publishing houses, and Zondervan, who owns Zondervan and publishes all these great Christian books? Why, Rupert Murdoch, who when he was in college was known as Rupert the Red because he had a bust of Lenin on his desk, and, well, some people say he still does. Dr. Cuddy, we're out of time. Thank you so very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure. Hope we get you back again real soon.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, I hope you enjoyed our interview with Dr. Dennis Cuddy, and we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up today's program here at Radio Liberty.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first 5 wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
If you're looking for a comfortable residential care facility for yourself or a loved one, consider Cozy Home in Moss Landing. The 6-bed facility provides nutritious home-cooked meals, special diets, private rooms, recreational activities, on-site podiatry, occupational and physical therapy, 24-hour supervision, as well as housekeeping, personal laundry service, transportation for doctor's appointments, and much, much more. The facility is located at 97 Springfield Road in Moss Landing. Please call Crystal at 831-840-1361. That's 831-840-1361. Or Elsie at 831-840-2410. That's 831-840-2410. And ask for a brochure or a tour of the facility.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and we have Leif calling us from Norway. Leif, did you have a Bible verse for us apropos of what we were talking about?
Sure, I did, yes. Hearing about all these conspiracies, and which really are existing, being a believer in Christ, I also know that they will not prosper in the end, they will have no future, those that conspire to take over the earth. Their rule will be short. It is written in the book of Revelations that they will have power to rule 1 hour with the beast. Only 1 hour.
But of course, Leif, if you remember Revelation 6:8, they start in by killing a quarter of the population, and then they kill another third of the population. So things are going to be pretty tough there for a while.
Right. Right.
Now, do you have a verse for us, because we're just about out of time?
I know. Hearing is the word of comfort. Psalm 37, evildoers shall be cut off. Those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth.
God bless you. Thanks so much, Leif. And I agree with you totally. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men. And we're in for some very, very difficult times, and you're going to have to get prepared in every way you can, but, of course, the most important way you can, it will be, of course, spiritually. So this is the time we just want to mention that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. We have a unique opportunity to talk to people all throughout the world, like Leif in Norway, and we have listeners really on every continent in the world. Now, by internet, by shortwave, but even more than that, we have an opportunity to be on over 60 radio stations every single week. But believe me, it's an expensive proposition. So if you in any way can or would like to help us, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we want to mention, of course, a number of things we have. We do carry up all of Dr. Cuddy's books, and they're all listed in our catalog. We'll be glad to send you a catalog. Or you can, of course, go to our website at radioliberty.com and just look under Cuddy, Dr. Dennis Cuddy, and his book, The Secret Records Revealed, his book, Now is the Dawning, The Road to Socialism, September 11th, Prior Knowledge, Cover Up, the timeline to the New World Order for education, so much, and there are other things I'm sure I'm not even thinking of. He's written an awful lot. And then, of course, is the National Mental Health Screening. It's a new pamphlet we have, and it's the first four in the series of 12 essays that he's written. You can see many of these at newswithviews.com. That's newswithviews.com. Just look under Dr. Dennis Cuddy's material. Get it, read it, study it, read it again, and study it, and understand what is really going on. And then please encourage people to go see Hotel Rwanda. It's a very important film because it lets you understand that our government in Washington, D.C., knew exactly what was going on when they were slaughtering 800,000 Christians, and yet they refused to intervene. But then we're not doing anything about what's happening. The people are starving in Rhodesia today, in Zimbabwe. 5 million of the nation's 12 million people have fled. When did you hear about that last time? On television? What did we hear on television? Oh, the Michael Jackson trial. Oh, we're going to have tonight, we're going to have a special program on Scott Peterson and Amber Fry, and oh, we got to watch that. And so what they do is they keep our minds busy with all sorts of unimportant things. They know how to manipulate our reality. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our website, radioliberty.com. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to read it. You can get it by itself or with a video and an audio tape. And then, of course, you need to get our material on mercury and fluoride and NutraSweet because they're poisoning our children. Pray for America. Pray for revival. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.